iHeart Podcasts.
Guess what, Will?
What's that, Mango?
So, you know back in high school how we both loved the Polynesian sauce at Chick-fil-A? And I know we've discussed it before, but I feel like it was definitely in our top 10 of condiments.
Oh, certainly.
But have you ever wanted Chick-fil-A to be more Polynesian?
You know, Mango, I've thought about a lot of things in my life, but I can't say I've ever had that thought before. Why do you ask?
Well, then my dreams of wanting a more Polynesian Chick-fil-A have finally come true. And I actually think we need to make a pilgrimage to this place. It's called Truett's Luau, and it's known as the most Hawaiian Chick-fil-A outside Hawaii. And for the record, it's in Fayetteville, Georgia, and it's named for Chick-fil-A founder Truett Cathy. And apparently Truett had this dream of bringing Hawaii to Fayetteville. So he built this massive Chick-fil-A. He filled it with waterfalls and South Pacific totems. And also, for some reason, there are alligator heads on the wall. That part doesn't make as much sense. Yeah. But Truett actually handpicked all the decor. And while the menu features everything you can get at a traditional Chick-fil-A, there's also like plenty of food with Polynesian flair. So you've got like skewered shrimp, kalua pork, pineapple top burgers, and you can wash all that down with a frosty pineapple drink.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's just the first of 9 restaurants we never could have dreamed up that we'll be covering today. So let's dive in.
Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to Part-Time Genius. I'm Will Pearson, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend Mangesh Hatikader. Unfortunately, I'm not fully joined by my voice today, so I apologize in advance. But who I am joined by, Mango, sitting behind that soundproof glass wearing a Pizza Hat shirt.
I didn't understand
what it said. I guess it's a Pizza Hut knockoff in Iran. Were you familiar with this, Mango?
I was not either.
Well, that's our friend and producer, Tristan McNeil, always introducing us to new things. So, all right, well, I know we're talking about strange restaurants again, but before we get started, we wanted to tell our listeners that we're actually doing a live performance very soon.
Yeah, that's right. We're actually coming to Philly, which is right near my home state of Delaware, for those of you who don't know where Philadelphia is. But we'll be there on July 1st for the Philly Podcast Festival, and we're actually playing at the Trocadero, which is just so insane to me.
So I've heard of this theater, but I don't know a ton about it. So why do you say it's insane?
I mean, it's insane to me because it's where my friends and I used to go to concerts when I was in high school. Like, we'd see Rusted Root or Beck or Sarah McLachlan, Bare Naked Ladies, Lisa Loeb. Mostly it was free tickets we got from the local radio station, Y100. But it was pretty great. And to be playing there is pretty amazing to me.
And I think we're actually opening for Lisa Loeb, aren't we? Is that the plan?
I believe that's true.
Well, maybe not. But we aren't going to be alone. We're actually going to be there with our good friends Ben and Noel from Ridiculous History, one of our favorite podcasts, two of our favorite people. It's going to be a blast. So we'll be part of the same show. The show is at 4 p.m. on Sunday, July 1st. So we're just days away from this. And you can get your tickets at phillypodfest.com. Again, that's phillypodfest.com. July 1st, 4 p.m. We hope to see you guys there.
It's going
to
be so fun.
Oh, I can't wait. And I promise to have my full voice by that point. I'm just saving it up. I'm only using part of my voice for that reason, just to save it up for the show. Anyway, Mango, I'm curious. Why did you want to talk about these theme restaurants today?
So part of it for me is that I'm just fascinated that these places are willing to stake their entire success on like the novelty of a gimmick. You know, and I'm also just kind of like amazed when it works. So I was talking to one of my friends last night, and he's originally from Kosovo. And he was saying that he took his family to Baltimore and they couldn't find a place to eat. And then they finally spotted Dick's Last Resort, which, you know, is famous for the waiters kind of being rude to you.
Right.
And he was sitting at the table and the waiter just threw straws at him and napkins at him. And he didn't know what was going on. And he was so insulted. And he told me like all the things that were racing through his mind. He was like, I don't owe money to anyone in Baltimore. I don't have a bad reputation here. Like, why is this waiter being so rude to me specifically?
Right.
And, you know, he's got 3 young kids. He was honestly afraid he was going to get in a fist fight. And then I think someone confessed that it was just a gimmick. But I love that some entrepreneur out there years ago thought, you know what people really want is to be treated super badly by obnoxious waiters. And for whatever reason, that guy was right. Like, there's 7 or 8 Dick's restaurants around the world, and I feel like they're doing great.
Really? I actually didn't know this. I've honestly never been to one. I remember we had a friend that would rave about it and always thought it was a fun idea. Have you been to one before?
I haven't been to one either.
Huh. Well, what a strange concept. Well, it makes sense why you wanted to do today's topic. So why don't we let you go first? What restaurant do you want to talk about first?
How about this Heart Attack Grill in Vegas? So I'm so confused by this place, and it's definitely something I'm more interested in talking about than visiting. But the Heart Attack Grill is a hospital-themed restaurant where if you're over 350 pounds, or if an actual heart attack occurs during your meal, you get to eat for free.
What? So if if just anyone in the restaurant has a heart attack, then you get to eat your meal for free? Is that the... That's the idea?
I haven't looked into the fine print. I know it's known as a meal to die for, but I don't know if it's anywhere in the restaurant or just at your table. But,
I also love that you said a hospital-themed restaurant. Like, that's just so strange, but weirdly, I kind of want to check this out. But anyway, tell me more about it.
Yeah, so everyone's dressed up like nurses, and the burgers come in categories of, like, single, double, or triple bypass. In fact, it goes all the way up to an octuple bypass burger. Oh. But sort of the middle of the road burger is the quadruple bypass burger, and it comes with 4 half-pound beef patties, 20 strips of bacon.
Oh my God.
8 slices of American cheese, and there's a whole tomato in there, which might be the healthiest part.
Wow. And I just imagine that it's not even sliced up. It's just like a whole tomato just kind of squished into there.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to complement it with something else, you can also get like candy cigarettes with your meal. Those are available too.
What a bizarre place. All right. Well, speaking of places I probably won't visit, did you know that the North Korean government actually runs a bunch of state-run food joints in other countries?
No.
So it's actually kind of their way to promote soft power and get people interested in North Korean culture. So if you go there, there's these women servers. They're actually all women, and they're dressed in traditional garb. So they'll sing and they'll play instruments for the diners. And so you can find these Pyongyang cafes in places like Russia and China. But the biggest reason for them isn't actually the propaganda. It's the cash. So the meals there cost around $30 or so. And, you know, the food is supposed to be pretty good. But the restaurants actually generate about $100,000 to $300,000 for the North Korean government, which it desperately needs for its coffers. Now, there's one other thing about this. If you ever find yourself in one of these places, is that you're not allowed to take photos when you're inside of one of them.
Oh, that's crazy. And I don't think I'll ever be going, but...
Probably not.
You know, so one of these things you hear in Brooklyn a lot is that people are just crazy for poutine. I know people like it all over the country too, but these are these like fries with cheese curds and gravy, and they come from Canada. And as I was looking up this story, I actually found that the guy who invented poutine has a framed certificate from the Canadian Intellectual Property Council at his restaurant. Like, it's just up there on the wall to show everyone he invented poutine. Anyway, this isn't about that restaurant, but about a fast food place in Quebec called Chez Ashton. And the reason it's interesting to me is that it actually has a poutine menu that varies with the temperature. So if the temperature is negative 30 degrees Celsius... First of all, can you imagine having to live anywhere where it can get to negative 30 degrees Celsius?
And will not ever test that out.
That just sounds like such a mistake. But if it goes to negative 30 degrees Celsius, then you get a 30% discount on the poutine. And for every negative degree, you get a full percent off. Like, I just can't imagine rooting for it to get colder just so I could get some fries. But apparently it works.
Wow. All right. Well, here's one on the opposite side of the spectrum. And I'm actually really into this idea. So normally a shoes off place might throw some people off. But in the Philippines, in a place called Villa Escudero in the city of Tiong, there's this waterfalls restaurant. And the restaurant is shoes free because all of the tables, like these beautiful picnic tables, they're in the middle of this small river and they're surrounded by these giant waterfalls. And the cook stations are actually right there, too. It's actually this really stunning setting. And not only are the guests encouraged to dunk their heads in the rushing water in order to cool off, but there are exotic birds you can spot from the location. And, of course, the fish, not surprisingly, is incredibly fresh.
Huh, that sounds pretty fun. It actually reminds me of this place Christopher told me about. That sounds insane. It's called Itha, which I guess means Mother of Pearl. And it's the world's first all-glass undersea restaurant. Hmm. It's basically this panoramic view of the sea in the Maldives, and it's 5 meters below sea level. And people have actually said it's kind of like tumbling down a tropical version of Alice in Wonderland, like down the rabbit hole. I've seen photos. It's honestly so beautiful. Like, the roof is domed glass and there are schools of fish just swimming around you. Apparently, the trickiest part for maintaining the restaurant is that both sides of the glass have to be cleaned every day. But being there is this really intimate experience. There's only ever space for 14 diners. You can also only eat there if you spend a night in the hotel that's adjacent, which starts at £750 a night. But if you've ever wondered what it's like to eat your meal in a giant fish tank, like, this is the closest you'll get to that experience.
That does sound like a pretty neat thing. Like, I know that's expensive to be there, but I could see why people would want to pay that. I mean, it just seems like something you couldn't experience anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you're in the submarine in Life Aquatic. The way it's all set up is pretty incredible.
Yeah. All right, well, here's one I really wish still existed, and it doesn't anymore, though there's some hope that it might come back at some point. And it was just called Tim's Place, and it was owned and run by a young guy named Tim Harris. It was a breakfast and lunch place. It was in Albuquerque, and it had this delicious food with a Southwestern flair and had all these great reviews on Yelp and places like that. But what makes it so interesting is that it was the first restaurant owned and operated by someone with Down syndrome. So Tim is a Special Olympian. He likes to jokingly point out that he has more medals than Michael Phelps. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
A lot of medals.
That's a lot of medals. But what makes the place even more special is that he liked to give hugs with every meal. And he'd given out something like, I think it was like 18,000 hugs before the place eventually closed.
Oh, I love that story. And it's a shame it closed.
Yeah, but you know, the reason it actually closed was because Tim was in a relationship at the time, and it was a long distance relationship. So he decided to choose love over food. And in fact, he often said food is food. But what made his place special was all the hugs. How great is that?
That's so great. Okay, well, we've got two more facts to give, but before we do, let's take a little break. Welcome back to Part-Time Genius, where we're talking about strange and fun restaurants we'd love to visit, or at least peek into. So, Will, you've just told us about Tim's restaurant, which sounds amazing, but you know, in that same feel-good vein, I just read about Jon Bon Jovi's Soul Kitchen. Have you heard about this place?
You know, I don't know that I've heard about anything related to Jon Bon Jovi in quite a while, so I didn't know he was in the food business, though, either.
Yeah, well, I just read a story on Tony Bon Jovi, so
I read
about something related to Jon Bon Jovi, but not food. Anyway, he's actually got two of these places, and at first blush, there were, like, celebrity chefs from Top Chef there, and it just seemed kind of fancy, and the food looked great, but I just wasn't that impressed. But then I read that it's basically set up for people in need. So you can pay for the meal like a regular restaurant, or if you're hard up, you can volunteer in the back of the restaurant for an hour and have your complete meal paid for. They've actually served over 85,000 meals that way. And, you know, for those of us who can't pay, you can also volunteer your time there and donate it. Or if you're struggling, you can volunteer and pay for your meal that way. And they just give away a lot of really great food. It's kind of remarkable, and it made me like Bon Jovi so much more.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty neat. Well, I'm glad we've got all the heartwarming stuff out of the way, because I got one last one that I want to talk about, and that's these roller coaster restaurants.
So just hearing that title, like, it can't be where you get on a roller coaster and then have a meal served to you during the loop-de-loops, right? Because that seems like a terrible idea.
It might sound like a terrible idea. It was something I probably would try, though, as a fan of roller coasters. But no, this is very different. And I guess this is a chain restaurant. And they're in all sorts of fancy cities like Vienna, Sochi, Dubai, like all over the place. But basically, you order your food on an iPad, and then the food and drinks goes on this roller coasters around your table. Like, I don't even know how this works exactly, because the tracks have these winding loops and crazy turns. And honestly, you would think the food would just spill everywhere, like on its way to you, but it just pulls right up in front of you.
That's pretty amazing. You know, I used to get a thrill from watching those, like, sushi boats at restaurants, especially in San Francisco, where they slowly move and you can just pluck the sushi off the floating boats. But I don't know, like, a roller coaster seems so much crazier. But who do you think wins this week?
You know, I was thinking my Tim's Diner fact was pretty good, and maybe that should take it. Your Bon Jovi soul food thing was probably a little bit better, especially since it's still around. But You know what? This week, I feel like we should give the trophy to Christopher Hasiotis. He did a ton of work in helping out with the research for this episode.
I'm totally for it. We should buy him a gift certificate to Pizza Hut.
That's a great idea. All right. Well, one more reminder. We hope to see anyone that's in the Philadelphia area at our show at the Trocadero on July 1st at 4 p.m. And you can get those tickets at phillypodfest.com. But we'll be back with a full-length episode tomorrow.